Now the host of Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent.
Welcome to Bengal Buzz. My name is Ryan Sargent, your host, and we're here with a very special guest that I'll introduce in a minute, but someone that we've had on the show before that we love having on the show. But first, we want to wish everyone a happy new year. Let's make this a great 2019. But joining us in studio today, Mr. Rocket Ross Cunningham, the ISU super fan. How are you, Ross?
I'm outstanding, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So we're pre-recording the show today, but Idaho State had a good victory against Southern Utah last night in men's basketball, and the women also played Southern Utah down in Cedar City and beat them. Great wins.
Yeah, outstanding wins. The men especially were on fire last night from three. That was impressive. It's so much fun to watch this team when they get going from beyond the arc. Because, you know, it's almost like they can't, you know, it's almost like we have three or four guys that can hit from beyond the arc very easily. Especially like, it was awesome watching them catch fire last night after, you know, after the very long road trip. You know, they were gone for a month and a half. And the women have been playing extremely well, save for that one hiccup against Idaho. But I think that loss to Idaho was more the exception than the rule. This women's program, I think
Idaho was on fire that game. I mean, just hitting threes that like I've never seen before in a women's game.
You know, the typical John Newley coach team, very traditionally very good from the three ball, you know. But I think that loss to Idaho was more the exception than the rule, because this is normally a very solid, consistent women's basketball program that we have. And I think they got back on track with the win against Eastern Washington, always a tough squad to play. And I think they've gotten back on track by demolishing Southern Utah yesterday.
Yeah, so, they had a good, 12-point win or something?
It was something like that, yeah. I'd have to look at the exact score. I can't remember off the top of my head. But
and the men won by, 20 points, I think, somewhere around there.
About 20 points, yeah. And I'll tell you what, though, that was a really long 2 minutes, last 2 minutes
Man,
of that game
was a long
last night.
10 minutes, I thought. That was the last 10 minutes just.
God, what was it? Madison Guernsey was saying something like almost 40 fouls in that game, like total, yeah. Like something ridiculous like that. Like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was a little rough to watch there for a little while, I thought.
Before we continue on, I also just want to say, you know, Happy New Year to everybody, you know, and like Ryan said, you know, let's make this a fantastic 2019. I think basketball is, you know, if they keep playing the way that they're playing right now, I think it's going to be a fantastic way to start 2019 and hopefully segueing off to a really awesome 2019 football season coming up. But, you know, let's see where we can pull off after the outstanding year that we've had this year. I mean, a lot of people are going to look at a 6-5 record. It's like, oh, that's not, you know, that's not good. But, you know, the body of work that we put into this 6-5 year, I think, was outstanding. You know, we've had four home games that were almost sellouts. You know, two of those were flirting with, you know, 12,000 people. The other two were over 9,000. I just, you know, for a 6-5 program to get that kind of fan support out, that says something about Pocatello and ISU when ISU was doing well. I mean, look at the men's basketball game we had last night. I mean,
I thought the crowd was great, especially considering that school, you know, still is not back in session, so you're missing basically the whole student section.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd was great and engaged in the game. I mean, people were going nuts when Sam was kicked out.
I am still trying to wrap my head around that one, Ryan. I didn't see anything on any replays that would warrant a technical foul and an ejection. You know, and I think the kicker came. I think the thing that cracked me up last night about that was the, you know, the PA guy said, okay, so Sam is ejected and Southern Utah's got a technical. Like, okay, like, all right. So, you know, something, you know, we got a bit of an even play here. Uh-huh. And then the kicker came with the correction. Correction? There is no foul in Southern Utah, but number three, Sam Dowd has been ejected. Now, what?
Yeah, what? I didn't quite see what they what caused that? Did he catch him with his elbow a little bit? Is that what it was? Or
I don't know. I just I just think that Sam Dowd put that poor kid through a spin cycle, and I guess the referee might have thought that was taunting or something. I don't know. But got to see the crowd light into the officiating crew over that. That's what I like about, you know, watching football and officiating, is at least, you know, the officiating, you know, have to justify their call, you know, speaking out in front of, you know, several thousand people.
Yeah.
So-and-so did this, and that's why this warrants a 5-yard penalty, replay the down, you know. Uh-huh. Basketball is just this private conversation with the scorekeeping crew, and I think that might egg on the crowd a little bit because no one really knows what's going on until the PA guy says something. But you know what I find really funny, you know, about crowds and ISU and all that, Ryan?
What's that?
You know, we discussed this over dinner, you know, about a week or two ago. But it's so funny that, you know, a 6-5 ISU program for football had 4 games that, you know, were over 9,000, including the 2 that were almost sellouts. You know, the 11,000 for Idaho, the something like over 10,000 for the Weber game. And that was a 6-5 ISU program that was pulling those kind of crowds.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, you have Weber State, don't get me wrong, very solid football program they've got going on down there right now. They've got I think they have a great head coach in Jay Hill. Yeah, they've got a really good supporting staff. They've got excellent skill players.
And Weber's done a good job of investing in their football program.
Their athletic director has fantastic vision. You know, I hate to throw bones to Weber, but you know, credit is where credit's due, right? Uh-huh. But despite all their success they've had for the last, you know, on and off since about 2008, they still haven't had a sellout game since 2005. They haven't cracked 10,000 fans in, something like a decade. They, you know, for a first-round playoff game in the FCS playoffs, they had something like 7,800. And then for their next game, which they also hosted against Maine, they had like several hundred less fans. Yeah. And I'm just thinking,
well, it's cold outside in Ogden, Utah.
It's so cold and frigid, like all of 20, 25 degrees, and you know, BYU and Utah aren't doing anything that night. There's nothing else going on that night, and yet they drew less than they did in their first round home game. And I told myself, you know, and I don't say this if, I say it's a when. When ISU eventually hosts a playoff game, because I think we're going to get there. You know, I'm not trying to put pressure on anyone here, but I think with the progress that we've made bit by bit, piece by piece, year by year, I think it's going to come to a point where we're eventually competing for Big Sky championships, or at least we're going to be in the mix for one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have an absolutely fantastic coaching staff. I think Coach Fennessy has great vision. And beyond that, I think, you know, President Kevin Satterley is committed to creating a winning and successful athletic department.
You know, and for being a quote-unquote interim athletic director, I think Pauline has done an outstanding job in the couple months that she's been in, yeah. You know, establishing not just a vision, but a strong grassroots level support for the university and its athletic programs. I mean, you know, people, you know, she's getting out there, she's, you know, meeting people and whatnot. People really like interacting with her, you know, and she's done a phenomenal job. But, you know, getting back to
Pauline's great. And why we're on that, next week when the students are back in town, be sure to come to the basketball games and check out the student section, because there's been a lot of work between, you know, Pauline's office, the athletic department, my office, the Alumni Association, and we've really got some great plans. You're going to see a new student section here when the students are back for the semester.
I'm excited to see what what that's going on. I'm excited to see how that's going to turn out. But getting back to what we were saying, though, it's just funny that the Weber, you know, can't crack it, but a 6-5 ISU program can have almost four games that are almost sellouts. And I think eventually, when I am willing to bet that, if you know, when the day comes when ISU hosts a playoff game, we're going to have the demand is going to be so high that you're going to have to bring out the basketball bleachers and stick those just outside the end zones because demand is going to be soaring.
Yeah. Be 1981 you know, all over again. I've seen the photographs of those bleachers set up over there. I've seen the
photographs, too. It's just mind-blowing. And you know something else, you know, and this is a little interesting piece of trivia here, too, is that Southern Utah, you know, they finished something like 1-10, and they still had a couple of games where they had more fans than Weber did. They had over 10,000 people in seat, like, for a Southern Utah game. And for their homecoming against equally hapless Sacramento State, and Weber State still hasn't cracked 9,000 people. I get a kick out of that. So, you know, I said to a friend, I think it was Craig Joseph. You know Craig.
Yeah, former football player, works here at the university and in admissions. Great guy.
And you know, outstanding. You know, just fantastic guy. And I remarked to him once. I said, you know, this is before Weber hosted their first playoff game against Southeast Missouri or something like that. And I remarked to him and I said, you know, Craig, if Weber can't draw more than 10,000 people for a home playoff game, and yet a 6-5 ISU program can draw a lot of people to their game, to our games, Weber forfeits the right to talk anything bad about ISU and Pocatello. Because it's just... You know, and I got into it with, you know, some Weber fans on social media. Like, when I pointed this out.
Did you?
Yeah.
You did?
I did. Oh. I did indeed. I think only
everyone on Twitter saw that.
I sure hope so, because they had no ammo. Like, it's like, you know, for like last decade and a half, I've had to put up with Weber fans. You know, it's like, oh, ISU sucks, Pocatello sucks, Idaho sucks. You know, Ogden's got it better and all that. And yet, none of you guys can get out and support a winning football program. I think our basketball crowd was bigger than Weber's crowd that they had for the NAU game last day. Like, I the women had really good attendance. You know, for the holiday break.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget, like, back in the winter of 2017, a few months before I deployed, I went down to Ogden for ISU versus Weber, uh-huh, women's basketball. They had maybe like 30 people there, and that's not counting.
Do they play in the D?
In the D, yeah, they play in the D. I don't know why.
So 30 people in a, what does that hold, 12,000 people or something? That's something pretty like that, empty, yeah. Empty basketball arena.
You know, and I going down there as a fan, you know, I pretty much had my run of the show down there. It is just funny, like, how ISU women's basketball can get 400 people out for an alumni game on, uh-huh, homecoming weekend. Over 400 people. Even major programs have a hard time managing 400 people for a women's alumni game. But here's ISU, you know, quote-unquote terrible ISU, pulling over 400 people for a women's alumni game back in homecoming weekend in September. And here's Weber trying to figure out, how do we get all these fans out here, you know? I understand that their marketing hasn't been very good for their, you know, and then, you know, that's the beautiful thing about being an Idaho State Bengal, Ryan, is that when ISU wins, we practically market ourselves, you know, because everyone all over Southeast Idaho, like I have family down in Lava Hot Springs, and I started seeing some of them at ISU games.
That's great.
It was outstanding. You know, people are coming in from like Lava and Preston and Blackfoot, Idaho Falls, to come check out this ISU
football. It was a great environment. Every football game, I thought. The pregame atmosphere,
yes,
is fantastic.
Yes.
All the way around the whole arena. And then you've got an engaged, excited crowd inside.
You know, let's talk about that too. Like, the tailgating. Ryan, this year, you know, like, the tailgating this year was the best that I have seen since, you know, coming on here back in 2006, you know, at the tail end of the Larry Lewis era. You know, mm-hmm, that was also an era, you know, where fans were pretty engaged, people were excited, you know. And I've heard that Dr. Satterlee really wants to make ISU tailgating a big thing, you know, for the football games, to help drum up, you know, get people pumped and psyched for the, you know,
I think he's very committed to that.
You know, the Bengal Fest was fantastic. You know, the giant tents, the work.
Well, that's the alumni and fan tailgate.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
The two big tents. That's on the practice field. That's the president's pregame event and the alumni and fan tailgate. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
on the south side.
Yeah,
and Bengal Fest is still on the north side. With the blow-ups for kids, and that was a great atmosphere as well.
I just thought it was awesome to see, you know, and like on the north side, all the tailgates. You've got
a lot of RVs. I think, the Bengal Booster RV area was sold out last year.
It's exciting. And you've got like all the coach. You've got most of the coaches from the various athletic programs setting up their own little tailgates with their, women's basketball. They have tailgate.
Yeah, I saw Seton out there.
Saw men's basketball with their little thing going on. You know, everybody's getting into it. You know, I think it helps get the fans excited for the games and, Watching ISU, this will always be one of my most cherished memories now, is watching ISU just rip into Idaho. Like, you have Paul Petrino saying, back in August in the Big Sky Media days, we ran this conference back when I played and coached here a long time ago, back in the 90s. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all. We're gonna run the show because that's what we do. We're Idaho. We're the flagship institution of the state. Blah. And proceeds to just get annihilated. It was awesome, Ryan.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to the University of Idaho.
I know. You're a couple years of suffering.
But I'm a Bengal through and through, I think. I think that you know that. But it was a great view seeing my friends from law school filing out in the third quarter as I looked over.
Oh,
it was a beautiful view seeing them exit the arena.
I had this.
I had a lot of fun at Buddy's with him after the game too.
I had this rather heavy set Vandals fan. Clearly, just hammered out of his mind. He was coming up and giving me a hard time before the game. Not even in a whole buddy way. Just being a jerk about it. Well, we get a couple more, add on a few more touchdowns in the third quarter, and he was one of those that was filing out and being able to wave at him. Hey. Thanks for coming down, buddy. See you all next year. Bye. Watching him turn around and give you the finger was just, I know it's going to sound bad, but it felt great, watching.
Well, it's great to have an in-state rivalry back.
It is.
And truthfully, I thought that it was fantastic having all those Idaho fans out there tailgating in their spots and over in Bonneville Park, and it was good, friendly competition, I thought. We had the canned food drive, ISU Alumni Association versus the UI Alumni Association. We beat them in that as well, which was fun. But it was a great atmosphere, and they were fun to work with and trying to build up this rivalry.
The vast majority of their fans were just, despite all the talk, about a lot of their fans being really turned off by coming back to the Big Sky and seeing it as a step down, a lot of their fans are actually really excited to be back in the conference and being able to travel to games. A lot of their fans were really nice. A lot of them, you were right. It was a lot of fun to tailgate with them. But I will say though, it was really fun to watch that one guy just drag himself up the stairs. I can't believe we lost to these guys. And just, you're right though. A lot of the Vandal fans were a lot of fun. A lot of them, you could tell a lot of them were pretty excited being able to travel to games because, they're coming back from the Sun Belt, Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Monroe, Troy State, which is in Alabama, Appalachian State, which is in Boone, North Carolina. And they're going from that to being able to go to games in Missoula, Pocatello, Ogden, Cheney, Portland, their natural geographic footprint. I think as time wears on, I think they're going to see maybe a donor or two come back to the fold because this was a necessary move for them, especially sure. with especially, you know, with Washington State next door being good again, being in the top 25, competing.
Yeah, Mike Leach has done a great job up there at Wazoo.
You know, and when Washington State does well, Idaho's got nothing else to look forward to. Like, you've got a Pac-12 school, like, not 15 minutes away that's back in the top 25. You know, they're not going to be competing with anybody anytime soon for fan support and whatnot if Washington State's doing really well.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're here with our guest tonight, Ross Cunningham, who is the ISU super fan. How long have you been the super fan here at Idaho State, Ross?
Since 2006.
2006, right out of high school.
Right out of high school, and you were one of the first people from ISU that I met.
I remember. I distinctly remember being in line at Arctic Circle when you came up to me and told me how excited you were to be enrolling at Idaho State, and you never looked back.
Nope, not once. Never looked back, never wavered, never had any second thoughts. If I could do it all over again, you bet your rear end I would.
Well, you know, I have certainly enjoyed watching you at games, get the crowd hyped up and excited, and definitely adds to the atmosphere. So what are your predictions for our sports for the rest of the semester?
I think if basketball, men and women's, I think if they continue on the track that they, I think if they continue doing what they did this weekend, catching fire behind the arc like they did last night, the men did, and if the women continue to being the consistent program that they always have been, I think it's going to be a very good year for us come March when we go to the tournament in Boise this time, thank God, and not Reno.
Yeah, it'll be great to have it in Boise.
Thank God somebody in the Big Sky offices had the sense, like, maybe this Reno thing isn't working out. Maybe we should do this in Boise. I'm still not too wild about the idea of a neutral site tournament, but, you know, I understand the need for it in this conference. But I am glad that it is in Boise.
It's going to be great for our teams. Boise will be a friendly environment for our teams. And we've got a lot of alumni in Treasure Valley, drivable distance from Pocatello.
And I was about to say, you know, with it being in Boise, if the men do well, I think you could see a pretty good chunk of Bengal fan support out there in Boise. I think I definitely think you will have a good chunk of fans out there for the women's program in, you know, come March in Boise.
Well, if there's one thing you can count on, it's Seton making a run at the women's tournament.
Yes. The last couple of years have been more exciting than I can remember. It's what was it, 2016 championship game appearance, 2017 championship game appearance, 2018, like last year, just a couple of points away from a third consecutive title game appearance. This women's program is just a lot of fun to watch.
I'll tell you what, one of the best comebacks I have ever been at, and I was lucky enough to be down in Reno, but it was the first day of the tournament. We were playing Montana State, I think in 2017, 2016. 2016, I think.
Are you talking about the wild comeback?
There's 2 minutes left. We're down by like 10 or 12 points. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh, this is a shame that, this has fallen out of our reach. And the best comeback I've ever seen. Who shot the shot?
Julia Jones,
one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen.
Right in front of Lindsay Stockton, too, like John Stockton.
Yeah, that's who was Gardner.
And so. I remember watching that on a live feed while I was over in drill weekend up in Helena, Montana, of all places. And I remember watching that and losing my mind.
That was such a great game.
Watching Sobo lose his mind, just like potato.
He fell over, didn't he?
Falls over and potato bugs on the ground, losing and going completely mental. It was awesome.
And then they made the run to the final there, the championship game. Just remarkable, remarkable.
And then they did then they came back and made another run the next year. And then, 2018 I think ended on a sour note, not just because of the loss, but because Dora injured her knee in the final seconds. And
that was in the semifinal game.
Yes,
right?
That was against Northern Colorado. And I think this program will be looking to make another run this season. You know, as I said, the loss to Idaho, I think, was just more of an exception than the rule. Mm-hmm. I think it was just you know, the right, you know, the wrong team caught fire at the right time, you know.
Yeah.
We were missing a lot of shots down the stretch, and Idaho just kept nailing some possible threes.
That was a remarkable third quarter for them. I don't know how many three-pointers they made, but I don't remember seeing a game like that.
They made more threes than Weber State has football fans, Ryan.
Ross always being able to bring it back to his Twitter wars with the Wildcat fans.
Well, you know, I can't think of a fan base more deserving, Ryan.
Well, Ross, it's been great having you on the show tonight. Thanks for stopping by again.
Well, thanks for having
me. Any final thoughts for the audience before we wrap this up?
Get out and support these basketball teams this spring, guys. This winter and spring, everybody. They're a fun group of people to watch. I think that if we can get the fans behind both the men and women's programs, just like we did for football season, I don't think there's going to be a team that's going to be able to beat us at home. Get out, support these teams. Show the rest of the conference that we are the best in fan support outside of Missoula, Montana. That no one else can touch us when these teams are doing well.
Yeah, it's gonna be a really fun season. Don't miss out on this season. It's gonna be a blast, both men's and women's. Ross, will you come back at the end of the semester? Give us another wrap up of the performances.
You bet. We'll
get together after the Big Sky tournament in Boise.
Yeah, buddy, you want to do the show? I'm all yours, Sunshine.
Well, thanks again for having for coming on, Ross. Always great to have you. And go Bengals.
Go Bengals, buddy.
Underwriting support for Bengal Buzz comes from ISU Credit Union, with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including mobile banking, remote deposit, online bill payment, over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.